making TV special.
Venice. Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a hasty B-side episode of MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, as well as FoodWorldOrder.com and CyberspaceWar.com. So this is the B-side episode of 143, and I wasn't going to do this until I woke up this morning and everything went apeshit. And the Obama-Saya had to go and pull the Nobel Prize, so, of course, there's going to be a lot. There was already going to be a lot in the main episode 144 coming up in just about an hour. So it's just after 9 a.m. on this October 9th, 2009 morning. And maybe I was dreaming. Maybe I wasn't going to fit all this news into the main episode anyway. But here we are, so we're going to try and do some of the smaller, quicker things here in the B-side, because there's going to be so much to go over. We got the Nobel Prize. We got blowing up the moon. We've got Peter Lavenda and the Polanski polemic. So, needless to say, all the news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups are covered on MediaMonarchy.com. And a lot of times on the radio programs, I, of course, can't do justice to all the insane news that's coming out. I hit you with the headlines, I give you the link, I tell you where it comes from, and it's up to you to go do the reading and the research for yourself. So having said that, let's look at history, mystery, quick rundown on the latest developments concerning the Oklahoma City bombing, Castro, Casolaro, and the war on conspiracy. A great article by way of 911blogger.com, The Strange Death of Terry Yakey. Unanswered questions haunt family of OKC bombing first responder. So this guy's name's Terrence Yakey, Y-E-A-K-E-Y. And I can't even go into his full story. He was one of the first on the scene. He saw a lot of the suspicious things going on, which we even happened to cover last week with the latest recent video releases from OK CCTV, which of course are strangely blank in the moments before the blast. It's just a coincidence, I'm sure. I believe the final report was that Terrence Yakey was being followed by somebody, gave a cell phone call, said he was going to pull over, and he was killed. The strange death of Terrence Yakey. And I want to thank my man, Alan, for adding comments to this story. All my stories go up on my Facebook page, facebook.com/mediamonarchy. It's the most popular digital town square. So if that's where the masses are gathering, we will go there en masse and hit them with uncomfortable news. Alex Constantine asking the question, who ran the CIA anti-Castro kill teams in the 50s? And we know that answer. U.S. paid reward to Lockerbie witness, says papers from the recently released accused and convicted and alleged Lockerbie bomber, Al Megrahi. So another case of paid informants. More on what are loosely referred to as the octopus murders. New developments, new murders relating to the octopus. Something the late researcher Danny Casolaro was investigating before he was found dead of suicide in a hotel room in Martinsburg, West Virginia. The octopus murders. When Skeptics Fight Back is an article from the BBC. It's a battle, you know, between truth and disinformation. And the disinformation keeps fighting and fighting and fighting, but we keep beating them on every level because we have the facts on our side. Last two on the history mystery note, also from Alex Constantine, a nice breakdown of links on his bibliography on his ongoing series of the CIA/media war against 9/11 truth and conspiracy theorists. He also goes into the BBC and the amazing pederast James Randi and CIA mind control, all big labyrinthine things that we can't get into right here. History Mystery, OKC, Castro, Casolaro, and the War on Conspiracy. So we were talking about hidden things, history mystery things, things that aren't covered enough. But something my man James Corbin and I experimented with the other day. We're working on a YouTube video series, hopefully a weekly thing. We basically recorded a pilot, and I don't know that anybody's actually going to see this one. It was the practice run. So hopefully more on that very soon. One of the things that we did go over was Project Censored and their latest top 25 censored stories. So there's a great breakdown from Global Research, and that's where my initial link goes to. But I chopped down their article, and they analyze a lot of the stories and go into a lot more of the stories. But for 33 years, Sonoma State University's Project Censored has engaged in pioneering research on and advocacy for First Amendment issues. Each year, it ranks the top 25 and publishes them in their yearbook, Censored, Media, Democracy, and Action. So the latest is called Censored 2010, the top 25 censored stories of 2008 and 9. Top of the list, number one, U.S. Congress sells out to Wall Street. I give you links not on all 25 stories, but some of the more pertinent ones and ones that I've covered, James Corbett's covered, Clyde Lewis, and on and on. U.S. Congress sells out to Wall Street. Of course, this was all orchestrated just over a year ago as we were handing over power from one puppet to the next puppet with their cronies from the Trilateral Commission and Goldman Sachs helping to complete the destruction of the U.S. economy. Number two, U.S. schools are more segregated today than in the 1950s. Number three, toxic waste behind Somali pirates. If we go back to April or May of this year, 6+ months ago, Clyde Lewis and the Ground Zero Lounge did an episode called A Pirate's Lie for Ye. And he was the first one I ever heard break down the story that all that wave of piracy that we heard about was pretty much guys who were sick of international corporations dumping toxic waste on their beleaguered land. Number four, nuclear waste pools in North Carolina. Number five, Europe blocks U.S. toxic products. Number six, lobbyist by Congress. That, I guess, goes along with number one. Number seven, Obama's military appointments have corrupted past. Surprise, surprise. That's something we broke down quite well. And if this guy was supposedly against the wars, why did he leave on all of Bush's war criminals, like ex-CIA Robert Gates, a guy who knows how to stir up action in Afghanistan? It's been his whole career. Number eight, bailed out banks and America's wealthiest cheat IRS out of billions. Number nine, U.S. arms used for Israel's war crimes in Gaza. Number 10, Ecuador declares foreign debt illegitimate. 11, private corporations profit from the occupation of Palestine. Number 12, the mysterious death of Mike Connell. That's Karl Rove's main election thief. And we can jump back to December of 2008 on MediaMonarchy.com for more on the mysterious death of Mike Connell. Number 13, Katrina's hidden race war. 14, Congress invested in defense contracts. 15, World Bank's carbon trade fiasco. Number 16, U.S. repression of Haiti continues. 17, the ICC facilitates U.S. covert war in Sudan. 18, Ecuador's constitutional rights of nature. 19, bank bailout recipients spent to defeat labor. Number 20, secret control of the presidential debates. 21, recession causes states to cut welfare. Number 22, Obama's Trilateral Commission team. Again, we broke this down quite well, jumping back to June of 2008 on MediaMonarchy.com. 5 months before the Obama-siah would be coronated, we broke down quite well that pretty much all of his cabinet are either from the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, and or the Council on Foreign Relations. There's a link there to a quick clip from Alex Jones's Obama Deception, which of course is about to be followed up by Fall of the Republic. More on that as it drops. But the clip from Obama Deception that basically breaks down where all these folks are from. Number 23, activists slam World Water Forum as a corporate-driven fraud. Number 24, dollar glut finances U.S. military expansion. And number 25, fast-track oil exploitation in Western Amazon. That's the latest top 25 from Project Censored. One flashback link, or one more flashback link at the bottom from last year's list. Going back to September of 2008, 9/11 made the top 25 censored stories for 2009, and that would be the Japanese parliament member being a prominent 9/11 truther. Next, from Raw Story and Raw Replay, one of those bits that I can't pass up. There's no way. CNN reports on Freemasons in Congress. Senator Nick Rahal, a Democrat from West Virginia, told CNN's Elaine Quijano that Freemasons aren't trying to rule the world, but, you know, he wouldn't tell you if they were.
That best-selling thriller from Da Vinci Code, author Dan Brown, is called Lost Symbol, right?
Lost Symbol.
It's set in the nation's capital, and it's centered on the world's oldest and largest fraternity.
Brown's book has renewed interest in the Freemasons, and as Elaine Quijano tells us this morning, it is a secret society that is still very well represented in Washington.
John and Kieran, for all the conspiracy theories about Freemasons, this much is true. They can still be found at the highest levels of American government.
From the Capitol to the White House, Freemasons throughout history have freely roamed the halls of power in Washington. Nine of the men who signed the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons, as were more than a dozen U.S. presidents, including George Washington, who famously laid a cornerstone of the Capitol building clad in his ceremonial Masonic apron. These days, Masons can still be found in powerful government positions. Masonic historian Arturo de Hoyos.
We have egalitarian ideas. We believe that people should rule themselves, they should elect their own leaders, they should be governed by constitutions, have separations of power.
Senator Chuck Grassley's a Mason, so is Senator John Tester. But getting someone to chat about it can sometimes be tricky.
I'm doing health care.
Senator Mike Enzi didn't break stride while explaining why he's part of the secretive society.
It's a brotherhood built on constructing good men.
Yet behind these closed doors,
I became a Mason in my local lodge in Beckley, West Virginia.
Secrets revealed.
This was his 32nd degree.
Congressman Nick Rahal, a Mason for almost four decades, decoded Masonry's most prolific symbol.
You may see the compass and the square as symbols of Masonic training. We live by the square. We're upright individuals.
The congressman describes Masonry as a fraternity. He says his mentor and fellow Mason, West Virginia Senator Robert Byrd, nominated him for membership. As a 33rd degree Mason, the highest level in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, Congressman Rahal acknowledges there are a lot of secrets and codes, but he says they're not sinister.
So are you trying to rule the world?
Let's say no. But if we were, would I tell you? No.
Congressman Rahal says Freemasonry today is more of a social organization, and despite the prominent positions of some members, is not a forum to discuss power politics. John, Kieran?
Elaine Quijano this morning. Elaine, thanks. We should also mention, too, that they raise millions upon millions of dollars every year for charities. So.
See that? And he wouldn't tell you if they rule the world.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, yeah, we like that. You may have noticed that strange drop in audio while Nick Rahal was talking about the compass and square. I have not gone back to the video to see if that's something that's within the video or something that was my fault in the audio pre-production, or if, again, if it was just one of those mysterious blackouts. From the Freemasons to Econo Crash, liquor, gold, and a new world order. First up from MSNBC. This is their headline, not mine. U.S. economic decline forges new world order. We're going to get to a breakdown on that in just a few minutes. But continuing, the U.S. unemployment rate has reached 9.8%. FDIC last Friday seized three banks, taking the tally for the year to 98. So, of course, it's now again another FDIC Friday. You can pretty much be assured that on this momentous day of, again, Obamasiah and the Peace Prize and blowing up the moon, will probably break triple digits on bank foreclosures for the year. Economics of Undocumented Immigrants, Myth and Reality, from the Deutsche Press Agency. Thousands line up in Detroit for stimulus money. Interestingly enough, Detroit's homeless and low-income residents have another opportunity for a chance at millions of stimulus dollars. Money is available to help low-income residents from becoming homeless and homeless people to help find housing. So thousands of people lined up Tuesday. There are some updates in this story from clickondetroit.com. Scammers target homeless seeking help. But interestingly enough, some people in line falsely believed they were registering for $3,000 stimulus checks from Obama. Which brings to mind the woman who, of course, won't have to pay her rent or her mortgage because Obama got elected. Liquor, restaurants, and computers up. Most other retail classes down. This comes from washingtonsblog.com. Getting better and better by the moment. Even as I click on the link now, I see he's been updating the page, the layout of the page, washingtonsblog.com. Liquor, restaurants, and computers up. Where he goes into the New York Times and their interesting chart showing that retail sales of liquor, restaurants, expenditures, and computers are up and almost everything else is down. Why liquor? Liquor always goes up during a financial crash, as do things like Pepto-Bismol. Why computers? Well, during the Great Depression, the sale of movie tickets skyrocketed as movies produced cheap entertainment and escape from the economic misery. Movies now, however, are fairly expensive, but there's a lot of free entertainment on the web, so in addition to any business reasons for buying new comps, I think computers will be the escape of choice during this downturn. Why restaurants? Many families are opting for, yes, that's right, staycations. Liquor, restaurants, and computers. Hear, hear. U.S. government gold manipulation document has been declassified. This thanks to economicpolicyjournal.com, and you can even download the PDF by way of zerohedge.com. Tons of new sites. Every week I'm finding amazing new websites out there that, again, many hands make light work. This EconoCrash posting of liquor, gold, and a new world order has a few video updates. The first one is a long clip, and you had to watch the whole thing to get to this pertinent part at the end where some bankster, I'm not even sure who it is, notes that when you own gold, you're fighting every central bank in the world.
Does that mean that we're no longer the country that's fueling
exactly, and that's the, they call that the new dilemma to replace Triffin's dilemma, which is we have a solution for Triffin's dilemma, which is SDRs, but we don't have a solution for the national security implications of that, which is how we, you know, if we have to fight a war, if we have a catastrophe, we know that we no longer have this privilege of printing money, we just have another currency like sterling or, you know, maybe worse. And so, so what Warsh is saying is, we're not going to let that happen. He's saying to the other members of G20, look, we sort of have to trash the dollar, but we're going to do it gradually. And if it gets, if the market gets ahead of us and you see gold at 1,500 or 2,000, we're going to raise rates a lot, maybe 50 or 75 basis points to defend the dollar. My point about doing it 6 months ago, right, politically, absolutely impossible. I agree with that. You would get run out of town on a rail. But it would have gone a long way to strengthening the dollar and helping our economy in the long run.
Well, you just made a heck of a case for buying gold right at 1,000, then, didn't you?
Well, yeah. The problem with gold is I like gold and my...
You like it at 1,000?
Yeah. I recommend to my clients, conservative clients, 10% gold, 90% cash, and that I think gold's a double, and that can kind of, you know, give you maybe 7-8% a year for a couple of years with a lot of liquidity and a lot of safety, limited downside. The problem is when you own gold, you're fighting every central bank in the world. Central banks hate gold because it limits their ability to print money. Yeah. But the market is the market. The market will do what it wants. And even the central banks are not bigger than the market. So Warsh is trying to preempt an unstable decline of the dollar. What they want, of course, is a stable, steady dollar.
You are better than Professor Robert Langdon at co-breaking here.
Thank you.
It's Dan Brooks. We'll come back very soon, Jen. You've got to tell us more about it.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, gosh, if you're keeping score there, there's another reference to Dan Brown in his new book, The Lost Symbol. I'm sure if we actually looked at who's putting out the book, I'm sure these news organizations have some financial connection to that. However, having said all that, that's a talking head basically letting a little bit of truth slip out. However, let's jump to RussiaToday.com and get the latest from Max Kaiser, who does not mince words, who does not play around. Max Kaiser, again, has compared our recent econo crash to the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center buildings. And here, in a lengthy clip, I couldn't even cut it all down because it's all so pertinent. Max Kaiser notes that the dollar is finished.
Could there be a run on the dollar because of the growing public debt and budget deficit in the U.S.?
Sure. Well, in reference to the Robert Fisk article, I'm hearing the same thing here in my contacts in Paris and in the Mideast. So I'm hearing the same story. What I'm also hearing is that the basket of currencies that will replace the U.S. dollar will be much more heavily weighted in gold bullion. As much as 50% of the new currency scheme will be weighted in gold bullion. And the point of all this, keep in mind, is that these countries, China, Russia, and Iran, the Shanghai Cooperative Organization, they've made it really no secret that they hope to take down the U.S. economy and take down the U.S. dollar. And this is a move toward taking down the U.S. dollar and the U.S. economy by shifting the way oil is priced out of the world reserve currency, the dollar, which gives America an incredible free pass to finance wars and occupations around the world. China, Iran, and Russia don't want to finance America's military adventures in Afghanistan and Iraq and possibly Iran by allowing the U.S. to have the world's reserve currency, the U.S. dollar, which gives them coinage or the ability to make a profit on every single transaction that is done around the world because it's all done in U.S. dollars. So this is really another step toward the U.S. economy collapsing and the U.S. as a major global power collapsing.
Well, you said that China and Russia are interested in collapsing the U.S. economy, but those countries, plus Japan and the Gulf states, all hold big dollar reserves. So do you think they're interested in really collapsing the U.S. economy?
Yes, well, they're fed up. First of all, that's why you see the gold price moving up right now. It's hitting new all-time historic highs as a way to hedge against the dollar collapse. They're trying to do it in a way that's slower rather than fast. This is a done deal. It's baked into the cake. The U.S. dollar will no longer be the world reserve currency, certainly by 2018, but I have a feeling, based on what I'm hearing and the information that I have just learned in the last 2 hours, that this time schedule that Robert Fisk is portraying, 2018, things are going to be happening a lot faster.
Well, which currencies do you think then could replace the dollar?
Well, as has been mentioned, the idea of a basket, a currency basket. They're already talking about this at the G7, the G4, and the G20, and the International Monetary Fund. We just came out of a major G meeting in Pittsburgh, and the topic of discussion was creating a global currency to replace the U.S. dollar as reserve currency. They already are aware of this. They're talking about a special drawing rate, which would allow all the currencies to be recalibrated and then redistributed, with the U.S. dollar taking the biggest devaluation of up to 50%. I would imagine going forward, which is about what you would need for the U.S. to come in line with the global economy in terms of the incredible debts that the U.S. is carrying, that Asia is financing, that the Mideast is financing, which is one thing. But what they are objecting to, and what I'm hearing from my contacts here in Paris and in the Mideast, is that they don't want to finance America's wars anymore, because the U.S. dollar reserve currency status gives America an incredible leverage in financing wars that they don't really have to pay for. China, Russia, and Iran are paying for America's wars in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and possibly in Iran. And there's no strategic or philosophical reason why they're making these wars other than the war industry in America controls the White House. Obama works for the war industry, and they need wars to keep profitable, and that's the only reason we're seeing this. And this is why China, Russia, and Iran and these other countries are saying, wait a minute, we don't want to watch as this country, America, really with a horrible economy, huge debts. The only way they can extricate themselves out of their debt problem is to go into countries and commit genocide, or as they've done in Iraq, or support rogue states in the Mideast, you know, undocumented rogue nuclear countries in the Mideast that people object to. So this is what we're seeing. But I think the timetable is going to be a lot sooner than what Robert Fisk is suggesting, 2018. I think we're going to see this things developing a lot quicker.
What impact could the possible demise of the dollar as the world's reserve currency have on the U.S. economy? And can the U.S. do anything to prevent that happening?
Well, the U.S., remember, it's less than 5% of the world's population, and its economy is a large part of the global economy, but it's fueled almost entirely by debt. So if the U.S. economy were to disappear overnight, it wouldn't be as the catastrophe that some in the U.S. argue it might be. Yeah, sure, there would be dislocations in the near term. But look what happened in the scandal last year in Wall Street in 2008. That was completely fabricated by the folks on Wall Street to give themselves a huge bonus. You know, that was a fake, really, collapse that they engineered. And they engineered this rescue from the rest of the world to come bail them out in their bonuses. And the rest of the world is just saying, we're sick of your fake manipulation of your fake currency, your manipulation of the markets, your phony wars, and all the rest of it that goes with having the U.S. dollar as a world reserve currency. So the world is giving America a collective, I can't make a gesture here on television, but it involves the use of a single finger and an outreached arm with a bent elbow.
Thank you very much for your comments. That was Matt Kaiser, activist and former stockbroker. Thank you very much.
And there you have it. I hope clips like that really drive home the gravity of the situation that we're facing. And then there was another one from Russia Today, this time talking to Gerald Celente of Trends Research. Gerald Celente also happens to say that the dollar is finished. We have a third video from Peter Schiff going into gold. He's predicting it's going to hit $5,000 an ounce. In the last update on this Econocrash posting, liquor, gold, and a new world order, whodunit, sneak attack, on the U.S. dollar. This comes from Politico.com, and if we just jump back to the clip we heard a few minutes ago, it essentially came from some of the banksters in Pittsburgh at the G20. Four quick headlines on a 10-8 news purge posted up yesterday on MediaMonarchy.com. A note on the drug war, but of course, all these stories intertwine. It's not just about corrupt DEA agents that help run drugs themselves. It also connects to the banksters, as it always does. Wall Street, drug trade, military, there you go. Indicted ex-DEA boss turns himself in to federal court. This is in Miami, Florida. On charges of obstruction, conspiracy, and destruction of records relating to the Sir Alan Stanford fraud investigation. This goes to the MiamiHerald.com. A quick note on the Food World Order, and we will jump to foodworldorder.com in just a few minutes. But we should note that Lance Armstrong will now be pimping for Michelob Ultra. On the murder and mayhem scene, a UCLA student is in critical condition after her throat was slashed in the science lab. This immediately reminded me of what we just saw last month on the East Coast with a murder in a science lab. This probably doesn't relate to the seemingly mass deaths of microbiologists, but it's interesting nonetheless. The last note on Oregon building emergency radio network. This from examiner.com. Will that include places like the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org? Yeah, I doubt it. We mentioned the New World Order several times before, and here we are to episode 101 of CorbettReport.com, New World Order 101, where he notes that they've spent the previous 100 episodes breaking down the New World Order piece by piece, but in this, episode 101, James Corbett puts the pieces back together with the help of veteran info warriors G. Edward Griffin. Of course, among other things, many other things, the author of The Creature from Jekyll Island, and also Bob Chapman of TheInternationalForecaster.com. They both joined Corbett Report to basically describe the system we're facing and how to combat it. A video update to this. Another entry in Corbett Report's Economics 101 series, G. Edward Griffin on the Federal Reserve. And again, he wrote the book on it, Creature from Jekyll Island. So again, as always, great work from CorbettReport.com. Let's look, if we have to, and again, it's all starting to get quite ugly and quite scary on a number of levels. BioWars swine flu updates. Have fun getting your shot. U.S. rolls out massive swine flu vaccination campaign. That's from the AFP. First doses of H1N1 flu vaccine arrive. That's from CNN. And the first of three clips relating to the BioWars and the swine flu pandemic that we're seeing, where I believe there's also a documentary and a YouTube series out. Perhaps we'll get into that later. Called quite perfectly, The Shot is the Pandemic. But our first clip, by way of InfoWars, by way of some Alphabet TV agency, where Dr. Oz notes that he won't give the vaccine to his kids.
Even if they're as bad as they were in 1976 with the immunization given for the swine flu that resulted in Guillain-Barré, the incidence of getting that wasn't that much different from getting hit by lightning. The proverbial risk factor most of us shy away from.
Look, you are telling a mother who is trying to decide myself whether to get my kids vaccinated when the time comes, and I'm reading this, 51% of parents, only 51% are absolutely certain. I'll be honest, I'm in that 50% that isn't absolutely certain. So how do you convince me? How do you convince the other parents out there that we need to do this?
Campbell, I'm going to get it.
Yes.
If it helps at all, but I'll tell you, my wife is not going to immunize our kids because I've got four of them, and when I go home, I'm not Dr. Oz, I'm Mr. Oz. And so you are just like most Americans. All I can say is that there are going to be two extremes of the population. Some folks who say, you know what, I'm going to do this, it's right for all of us, I'm going to make it happen. And some of us are going to say, you know what, I just don't want that. I don't like the idea of government being involved. I feel pressured. It's not that big a deal. It's all a hoax. It's mysterious, etc. Most folks are in the middle. And my hope from programs like this and others is you'll provide a rational outlook and say, you know what, for most of us, it's the right thing to do. But the most important groups, pregnant women, young children, they're absolutely the groups we fear immunizing the most. but they're the ones that have a much higher complication rate from the swine flu.
It's true. To your point, I know we're out of time here, but pregnant women 6 times more likely to die from swine flu. The numbers are really frightening.
I don't want anybody who's pregnant or who has young kids to watch this program and think, you know what, I should be on the fence. Those are the groups that I really want to make the message clear to. If we, all of us in the healthcare field, and you know, we know what the risks are, we're immunizing ourselves. Please let that influence you a little bit.
All right. Good advice. Dr. Mamadov, always good to talk to you. Really appreciate you here.
Oh, yeah. Doctors, other doctors, that is, concerned that the flu mist vaccine could spread live H1N1 virus. Why would it do that? Oh, that's right. It has live virus in it. Like many vaccines do. Our second clip, this time from the Fair and Balanced Hype Machine, hyping the nasal spray. Don't believe those crazy conspiracy theories.
I'm Shepard Smith. This is the Fox Report. It's the bottom of the hour. Time for the top of the news. And the H1N1 vaccine is here. Hospital workers in Indiana and West Tennessee, among the first Americans to get vaccinated. We're told the shipments are pretty small right now, so they're going to healthcare workers first. Jonathan Serres in Atlanta, home of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Jonathan, why Indiana and West Tennessee?
Well, they were among the first 47 states and local governments to order the vaccine. So a combination, Shep, of first come, first serve, and luck.
When will the rest of the country get this thing? Do we know yet?
Yeah, in fact, Nebraska has already received a limited number of its shipment, and we're expecting to see other local governments and states receiving shipment as early as tomorrow. Certainly as we go further into the week and month, it will become a daily, if not hourly, occurrence of hearing of more shipments and more vaccines being administered.
The vaccine that arrived today is one of those nasal sprays, not a shot, and the experts are saying they don't recommend this kind for everybody.
That's right. That's because the nasal spray is made using a weakened but live virus. So if you have a compromised immune system, they're recommending that you wait for the shot, which is expected to come out later this month. It's manufactured using a portion of a killed virus. So pregnant women, they're urging to wait, in addition to people with compromised immune systems, people under the age of 2 or over the age of 49.
Jonathan Serres, live in Atlanta. Don't believe the negative hype on these vaccines. The vaccine conspiracy theories about killed Great Britain at one point. We have all the facts for you on H1N1 at our website, foxnews.com.
Oh, yes. Yes, they do. From Reuters, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, of course, a member and attendee of the Bilderberg Group. She's out with the PR front trying to ease flu vaccine fears. But we note from AshantiCountyNews.com that H1N1 plans are in full swing. And the third and final clip on our BioWars swine flu updates. Have fun getting your shot. It's the return of Elmo and the corporate media flu shot propaganda.
We are going to begin with swine flu cases quickly spreading across the country. NBC's Tom Costello is outside of emergency room just outside of Washington, D.C. Tom, good morning to you.
Hi, Meredith. Good morning. Hospitals across the country are getting ready really for a double whammy. Not only the swine flu, the H1N1, but also the seasonal flu. And since there isn't enough H1N1 vaccine to go around, Americans are getting their seasonal flu shots and hoping they stay healthy until they can get the next shot. In Lubbock, Texas, the health department decided to meet demand head on.
This flu shot may make you kind of achy.
The drive-through line to get a seasonal flu shot stretched for half a mile.
Why didn't you get it at the doctor's office?
Because this was more convenient.
Had fun getting a shot.
From the road to the air. Many of the nation's airports are also jumping on the bandwagon with vaccine kiosks. Eric Comier was passing through Charlotte.
We have a 2-hour delay, so I figured I'll grab it now. And this year, when everybody else is sick, I'll be smiling and saying it was the best $35 I spent.
Across the country, the seasonal flu shot is in high demand as most Americans wait to get vaccinated against the H1N1 or swine flu. This week, the first 2.4 million doses of H1N1 vaccine is shipping to state health departments, priority going to healthcare workers.
When you feel like your nose needs to give up on you.
Meanwhile, the government is rolling out a new PSA using Elmo to reach both kids and parents.
Sneeze right there in the bendy tongue. Achoo!
The Centers for Disease Control reports the H1N1 virus is now present in all 50 states and spreading quickly, unusual this early in the year.
Our biggest concern is that the virus could change, could mutate to become more deadly. We've seen nothing to suggest that that would be the case.
With children at particularly high risk, pediatricians' phone lines have lit up with parents anxious for answers.
He will be one of the first to get it because he is high risk.
In Atlanta, Chandler Sharp came in with 103-degree fever, diarrhea, and all the signs of swine flu.
In the daytime, I was really weak and I was sitting in bed all the time.
For Chandler, the worst seems to be over.
Could take weeks or even months, they say, until everybody in the country is vaccinated. But the CDC says eventually they believe that they will have enough vaccine to vaccinate everybody who wants to get a shot. If 5 to 10% of the country has already had swine flu, that means 90 to 95% of us haven't. The CDC says it's a good idea to get that vaccine, and the CDC insists the vaccine is safe. Meredith, back to you.
Tom Costello, thank you very much.
Methinks they doth protest too much. They being the Centers for Disease Creation. And they're, no, it's safe, really, totally. And the last couple headlines we're hit here, I'm sure, are totally, totally unrelated to everything we just went over. By way of the Los Angeles Times, proportion of 8-year-olds diagnosed with autism is up 50% in 2 years. And another great article from Paul Joseph Watson breaking it down quite well. Autism explodes as childhood vaccines increase. The last note on this BioWar swine flu updates. Have fun getting your shot. A recent AP poll shows that a third of parents oppose the swine flu vaccine. We're going to quickly jump over to foodworldorder.com right now. Dangerous foods list includes leafy greens, eggs, and tuna. This by way of Yahoo and CNN and Money. Leafy greens, including lettuce and spinach, top the list of the 10 riskiest foods, according to a study from a nutrition advocacy group released this last Tuesday. The Center for Science and the Public Interest listed the following foods in descending order as the most risky in terms of outbreaks. Leafy greens, eggs, tuna, oysters, potatoes, cheese, ice cream, tomatoes, sprouts, and berries. The scientists rated these foods, all of them regulated by the FDA, by the number of outbreaks associated with them since 1990, and also provided the number of recorded illnesses. The severity of the illnesses ranged from minor stomach aches to death, the center said. With leafy greens such as lettuce, the top cause of illnesses were pathogens like E. coli, norovirus, and salmonella in foods that were not properly washed. The other note from foodworldorder.com is a follow-up to a story that we hit back in February of this year on MediaMonarchy.com. But now the West Virginia grand jury has indicted two in a turkey abuse case. This from Examiner.com. A West Virginia grand jury has indicted two former turkey plant workers already charged with abusing birds and captured on tape by animal rights activists. Walter Lee Hambrick of Fairley faces three charges of animal cruelty, and Scott Alvin White of Second Creek faces one charge. The last thing we're going to hit back on MediaMonarchy.com as we wrap up this hasty B-side episode 143 from MediaMonarchy.com. So much, so very much coming up in episode 144. Again, even already having done this B-side, I'll be amazed if we can cram it all in. From the Associated Press. You ready for this? Ted Williams' severed head abused in cryonics facility. A new book by a former employee of Alcor, Alcor, the company that froze Ted Williams' remains, alleges the Baseball Hall of Famer's body was mistreated by the company. Larry Johnson says in the book called Frozen, My Journey into the World of Cryonics, Deception, and Death, that he watched an Alcor official swing a monkey wrench at Williams' frozen severed head to try and remove a tuna can stuck to it. The first swing accidentally struck the head, Johnson contends, and the second knocked the tuna can loose. Alcor Life Extension Foundation of Scottsdale, Arizona, issued a statement on its website denying the allegations and promising threatening legal action. Alcor denies allegations reported in the press that there was the mistreatment of the remains of Ted Williams at Alcor. Alcor will be litigating this and any other false allegations to the maximum extent of the law. Larry Johnson said he worked for Alcor for 8 months in 2003, first as a clinical director, then as a chief operating officer. He included several photographs in his book, including one of an upside-down severed head, not Ted Williams, that had what appeared to be a tuna can attached to it. Johnson says Alcor used the cans from a cat that lived on the premises as pedestals for the heads. Johnson, who says he wired himself surreptitiously the last few months of his employment, was the source for a story in Sports Illustrated in August 03 that said Ted Williams' head had been severed and damaged. My friends, it doesn't get much stranger than that. Or does it? So much coming up in episode 144 of MediaMonarchy.com. The Polanski polemic, Peter Lavenda blowing up the moon, Obama Saya, and the Prince of Peace Prize. It's all coming up on MediaMonarchy.com. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the Sights and Show, reminding you to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Same out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight. Yo.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.